This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. When my guest, Dr. David Ansel, was a young doctor in 1978, he started practicing what he describes as third-world patient care. But it was in Chicago, at Cook County Hospital. The hospital's patients were predominantly poor African-Americans, Mexicans, Puerto Ricans, and immigrants. Dr. Ansel says the county hospital he arrived at was ground zero for a crucial question facing U.S. health care. What is the best way to fund and deliver health care to the poor and uninsured? Ansel worked at county from 1978 to 1995. Now he's vice president of clinical affairs and chief medical officer at Rush University Medical Center, a teaching hospital affiliated with the new Cook County Hospital, which opened in 2002. His memoir is called County, Life, Death, and Politics at Chicago's Public Hospital. Dr. David Ansel, welcome to Fresh Air. Hospitals are supposed to be safe, clean places for healing. So let's start with the first time you went to the bathroom, to the men's room at County Hospital. Describe what that was like.
Well, it was 1977, and a group of us came to Cook County Hospital to interview with the legendary chairman of internal medicine, Dr. Quentin Young. Turns out he wasn't there, even though we had scheduled the interview, and we were whisked off to a mass meeting that was being held in another area of the hospital. It was full of people, and people were talking about the hospital going to close and if we didn't do something. But my head was somewhat spinning from that whole morning's events, and I realized I had to find a bathroom. And I made my way to the first floor lobby of the county, asked a guy at a security desk who pointed his way to the bathrooms, which were off to the side of the lobby, and I went in it. And it was so bad, I couldn't use it. And so I ran across the street to, which at that time there was a place called The Greeks, which was a restaurant across the street, and had to use the bathroom there. That was quite an introduction to my first day at county.
So did the men's room that was so unsanitary you couldn't use it, did it represent what the rest of the hospital was like?
Well, it was like no place I had ever seen at the time. You have to remember, it was built in 1914 by an architect who was more interested in creating a monument to Beaux-Arts architecture than to create a patient care institution. In 1927, the American College of Surgeons came on a tour and said it should be torn down and replaced. And this was now 1977. And it was a very old, worn down, tired institution filled with people. And you can imagine, hard to keep it clean, hard to maintain an institution like that.
Since so many public hospitals have closed down in the past few decades, would you just describe what a public hospital is? Because I think a lot of people don't even know anymore.
Public hospitals were created originally in the early 1800s in this country as started as poor houses. The people who lived on the street and couldn't make it on their own had to be placed somewhere. And they went there, and when illness ravaged communities, they transformed into hospitals. And public hospitals in this country have been the last resort for the poor and uninsured, or actually the undesirable of any sort, for many, many years. But at the same time, they've been hampered in many cities and localities by both politics, and they've been part of the larger background of race and poverty in this country.
So if a patient went to a hospital but they didn't have health insurance, were they likely to be sent to Cook County Hospital?
Yes, in the 70s and time before that, it was quite common for a patient to show up at a hospital to be in an ill condition, generally enough to require emergency care, and they would get transferred to Cook County Hospital by ambulance, the reason oftentimes being no insurance. That ended, actually, when after we did a study at Cook County and many others around the country raised an outcry about the idea that very sick people could just be put in an ambulance, and we called it dumping, and dumped to Cook County Hospital. Nowadays, it occurs in somewhat different manner because many hospitals in urban areas have closed, emergency rooms have closed. communities have been somewhat abandoned by the healthcare system. And so now people show up, and they show up in cars, they walk in, they come to the emergency room, and these, again, are the places of last resort in the country. So they're very special in many ways. They're great teaching places, but the dynamic of this sort of vast population in our country that has no access to health care coming to institutions like this is quite tragic on the one hand and uplifting on the other, because where we could provide the best care, we actually provided the best care. But oftentimes we're overwhelmed by what we didn't have the resources to. Not that we couldn't do it, but we didn't have the resources to do all that we could.
Before we get to what Cook County Hospital is like now, you're on the board of the hospital now, let's talk a little bit about what the conditions were like for patients when you started working there in the 70s. You describe overcrowding, beds in the hallways, wards that had been state-of-the-art in the early 1900s, but at this point were just very, well, very what? How would you describe the condition of the wards in Cook County Hospital in the 70s and 80s?
Well, the wards were open wards. And you have to understand, 1978 Chicago, 10 years before, the city was rocked with riots. Much of the west side of Chicago went up in flames when Martin Luther King died. It was described to be one of the most segregated cities in the country. County had become a concentrated institution that took care of poor black Mexican and immigrant people, and in such a manner that they were devalued by the larger society. And the conditions, in some ways, inside the hospital reflected the conditions out in the community. There were open wards. There was, again, an old building. There was no air conditioning. They were cold in the winter. They were very, very hot in the summer. There were screens. The operating room had windows. A friend told me about his third-year rotation on surgery at Cook County Hospital. This is many years after my time there. And he's been taught to scrub and how the proper way to scrub. And he gets gowned in his gloves and walks into the operating room. And the senior resident says, "Your job is to keep the fly away from the incision." There was no privacy. The beds were lined up one after another, separated by curtains, but there was really no privacy. There was one ward we loved as residents. It was called Ward 35. It was the admitting ward. And what was so great about that place is we were all concentrated there on admitting night, all of us young doctors, and the patients would roll in and they'd be lined up around the wall and the walls of this one room. The problem is you were forced to take histories and examine patients under these conditions, which would have been okay, I suppose, if there weren't the possibility of having shiny new hospitals. So we were across the street from the hospital I work in now, which has single double bedrooms and privacy and dignity. The contrast was what made this so bad. There was a time in hospital history when all hospitals in the United States were like this. But by the time I got there in 1978, and until the new hospital opened in 2002, these were the conditions. And unfortunately, the patients did suffer from the indignity of these conditions.
You described the work that you did at County Hospital as doctors within borders. I think most people know doctors without borders, and these are doctors from around the world who go to war zones and disaster areas and help people who desperately need medical help. And what you're suggesting is that you were doing the same thing, except it was in the middle of Chicago.
Yes. I went into medicine because I wanted to help people, and I went to medical school and found it very disillusioning. And County was a place that many of us went because we believed that disease, even as a young 24, 25-year-old, that disease had social etiologies, and that the idea that disease just emanated from the individual and wasn't somehow constrained or influenced by societal factors, which was kind of the teaching in medical school at the time, that diseases emanate from the individual. So going to a place like Cook County Hospital was a place to go live those beliefs out. And when people nowadays, young medical students or nurses, say they need to want to go to Africa or Dominican Republic, and God bless them for going and doing that, we have great places in this country that need young doctors and nurses to go to, like our public hospitals, where the same problems you're going to see in third world countries are right there, right in our inner cities. We drive past them every day. And that was why I went to county.
You ran the walk-in clinic at the hospital in the 1980s, and you say that this was the most challenging and disturbing job of your career. Why?
Well, if you can imagine a clinic that you open the doors in the morning and people just came in, and they came in all day long from beginning until we closed, and if we kept it open all night, they'd be all night long. The problem with this clinic was the kind of patients we were seeing were people who needed primary care. And they were walking into county hospital to get care that should have been theirs as a right of their humanity in their communities. And it was quite overwhelming to both keep up with the demand, but also keep up with the nature of the diseases that we were seeing there.
You read that the clinic was also known as the screaming clinic because the noise level was so high. And there were periodic eruptions from really angry customers. Were the waits really long? And when people got really angry, did they ever take that out on you as the doctor?
I have to say patients at county were so respectful and patient. And that when they got upset about waiting, it was the kind of upset that no one else would tolerate waiting the hours that they waited. It wouldn't be unusual for someone to come in for a checkup and wait 8, 9, 10 hours, 12 hours for care. So you really can't blame people for getting upset. We try to ameliorate this by putting an appointment system in. But over the years, the numbers of people who've walked in just continues to grow. That clinic is still there. I revisited it many years later. It was as if time had stood still and nothing had changed.
So do you think that the new Cook County Hospital, the one that opened in 2002, still represents the kind of medical apartheid that you describe from when you worked there from 78 to 95?
There have been many, many improvements. New hospitals provided, you know, much more dignified conditions to patients. But if you take a step back and you look at the larger issue of access to care, and I look at healthcare through the lens of being a doctor and the doctor-patient relationship, but actually through a wide-angle lens of being an epidemiologist. And if you look at just healthcare outcomes or things like life expectancy, and you look in Chicago, what bugs me and upsets me every day of the week is the fact that on the south side of Chicago, that a black man dies 8 years earlier than a white man in the United States, that a 16-year-old has a 50% chance of living to the age of 65. And when you look at the reasons for it, at least half of this is heart disease and cancer and things that could be diagnosed and treated if we had adequate health care system and access to health care. So while we have a new hospital, there are clinics, there are still struggles to access the most basic of conditions. I'm not talking about emergency conditions and emergency care. I'm talking about specialty care. Just yesterday, I had a conversation with a physician and said, you know, there's many months wait to see the eye doctor, or there are 4,000 patients waiting to get a colonoscopy. And this is not a screening colonoscopy. This is they've got blood in their stool. And it's what we, again, not what we could deliver under those conditions. So the new hospital and the clinics and the doctors and the nurses are spectacular. It's just if you look at the whole system and you look at the outcomes we're getting and then you look at the sort of the delays that are built in, we're in another hospital in the city you could probably get in the next week.
It's politicians, not doctors, who are working on reforming the healthcare system in one direction or another. Are there things that you feel politicians don't really understand about medical delivery systems?
I think what they don't understand so much is how the payment system drives inequality. And I think that they really don't have great understanding of that. This is a country that, at its best, is built on fairness and equity. You know, if you get a good education, you can make it in this world. You know, if you work hard. But there's a misunderstanding that if you just go to the ER, that that's healthcare. It's not. And I think we've got to think this as in terms of the larger system of care. And I don't think the politicians really understand that. I think this last health reform attempt, which is being bandied about, we don't know what's going to happen, is likely to fall short with regards to equity.
We've been talking about your work at a public hospital. What happens in places where there isn't a public hospital, where the public hospital was closed recently or decades ago? Where do patients go and who pays?
You know, people think we have a safety net system out there, and we do. There are some community health centers in many cities. These are health centers that are somewhat federally funded, where people can go to, but they fall far short of the needs of communities. In the old days, we said we had patient dumping. I think what we have now is community dumping, where large communities around the country, generally in urban areas, but rural areas too, have been abandoned because neither hospitals nor doctors can make it there financially. And the patients in these areas either have to drive far or just when an emergency occurs, get themselves to a hospital. It's less than ideal.
So can I have your brief take on the health reform plan that that passed Congress?
Yes. Winston Churchill once said something like, Americans eventually do the right thing after doing the wrong thing many times over. And this is, maybe a good start, the bad outcome, because we're going to put people into a lot of people into Medicaid, and a lot of people will still be uninsured. And Medicaid system is unfair because people don't have access to specialists. And we're going to end up with disparity persisting for at least a generation. There is better solutions. Medicare for all. Take the Medicare card. Our parents have. I'm soon to be have in a few years. Give it to everybody. Figure out how we pay for it. And manage the costs, and that would be the fairest way to do the healthcare system.
Well, to figure out how we pay for it, I think, is the sticking point for a lot of people.
We are paying for it now. We're paying for it in many different ways, and it's never been an issue of money in this country.
Are there costs that we don't see in the healthcare system now?
Yeah, there's the cost of inefficiency. There's the cost of emergency care. There's the cost of end-stage disease that doesn't have to be. There's the cost of not doing prevention. There are huge costs. We're twice the cost of the next system. And people talk about rationing. We're rationing care every day in this country to poor people. And, you know, 45,000 excess deaths. Chicago is 9 a day. 9 black people die a day in Chicago just because they don't have equal health outcomes to white people. Now, if this was Iraq and a roadside bomb, it'd be front page of the newspaper. And this is occurring in every city and rural area in this country. We're paying for it. It's just we don't add up all the costs.
Well, Dr. Ansel, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. David Ansel is the author of the new memoir, County, Life, Death, and Politics in Chicago's Public Hospital. You can read an excerpt on our website, freshair.npr.org. Ansel is now Vice President of Clinical Affairs and Chief Medical Officer at Rush University Medical Center, a teaching hospital affiliated with the new Cook County Hospital, which opened in 2002. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.